from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
So a couple of years ago, a Christian organization got a luxury box for a Dodgers game. It had about 50 seats. They offered two to each church that made a certain level of donation to their organization. I know the guy in charge, and he knows that I am a huge Dodgers fan. He called me and told me what they were doing, and I was like, that sounds awesome, but we don't have money to make a donation. Do you want to make a donation to us? He said, no, I realize you guys don't have that kind of money, but some churches will make the donation and not want the tickets. If anyone does that, I'll give you their tickets. And it happened. He called me one day. He said, we have two extra. You got two tickets to the luxury box. He sent me an email. Turns out it wasn't just sitting and watching the game in the luxury box. The email said that there will be all kinds of great food and a dessert cart. Score! I took my daughter, Marissa. We got our Dodgers stuff on. We're all geared up. We're excited. We drive to LA. We get to the game a little early. We go to the entrance to the row of luxury boxes. Someone's like, can I see your tickets? I'm like, I know what you're saying. You don't think I'm luxury enough for these boxes. We show them the tickets, sucker. We start walking down this really confusing row of doors. Turns out, I've never been in luxury boxes, but it's like luxury box 14, luxury box 14A, 14B, 14C, luxury box 15, 15A, 15B. So finally we get to ours and we go in. There's no one there, which is weird, but we were a little early. And so we go out to see the view of the field from the luxury box. It's awesome. Here's my daughter, Marissa, in disbelief that we get to watch the game from these seats. And then we go and we hang out in the luxury box. Here is Marissa hanging out. And you can see that we are all alone. Well, in the next box over, we could hear a ton of people and they're having fun over there, but no one is in ours but us. And so we sit there for a while waiting for everyone. And finally, I'm like, well, I am hungry. So I go over and look at the food. It's hot dogs and bags of chips. I'm like, what? There's supposed to be all this awesome food. There was a list in the email, all this incredible food, hot dogs and chips. Maybe this is just the pregame food, but there was actually a paper on the counter and it was an invoice and it listed all the food that was ordered for that luxury box. And it said 10 hot dogs, 10 bags of chips. I'm like, what about the great food? What about the dessert cart? But I figured, well, it's free food and I've been sitting here. I am not waiting anymore. I am eating one of the 10 hot dogs and 10 bags of chips. And so I did. And we kept waiting. We're listening to the party next door. I'm texting the guy who's in charge and was supposed to be there, but no response. At some point, we start to think, maybe something's wrong. In fact, we took a picture when we were thinking that there was a problem. And so finally, I stopped texting the guy. I called the guy. He answered. There's lots of noise where he's at. I'm like, hey, where are you? We're in the box. No one's here. And he's like, where are you? We're in the box. Everyone's here. I'm like, box 23? He says, yeah, 23B. Oh, 23B. They were the party next door and we were in the wrong box. And so we went next door where there were lots of people and awesome food and a dessert cart. The people in our box, our old box, finally showed up. Like we could see into their box from our box. And it turns out it was the HR department for a cell phone company. There were 10 of them. That's why there were 10 hot dogs and 10 chips, except for some reason there was only 9 hot dogs and 9 chips. We were in the wrong box. Man, I am really glad that you're with us today as we conclude our series, The Separation of Church and Hate. And would you put in the comments where you're watching from? Man, we have people who are a part of Verve from all over the country. So how about you? Where are you watching from? Put that in the comments. It'd be kind of fun to see that. And in case you haven't been with us, let me tell you what I'm doing, okay? I am not telling you who to vote for. Not even close. What we're talking about is love. I've asked if you're willing to put love above everything. To disagree politically, but love unconditionally. That's what we need to do. I mean, we are never going to agree on everything with everyone, but we are going to love everyone and everything. And so today I want us to get dangerous. I'm going to tell you about a danger you're in, and I'm going to get dangerous. I'm not saying that my name is Danger Antonucci, because Danger is not my first name.
No. Danger's my middle name.
I'm going to get dangerous by talking about political parties. But don't worry, I am not going to say which party is the right one or try to convince you to switch. You know, most people are really into political parties. Not that kind of party. Most people are into political parties. Why? Well, I think it's because we like to belong and because we like things to be black and white. I think at least part of it, the reason we want to be in a political party, we're into parties, is that we like to belong and we want things to be black and white. Now, some people feel kind of naturally drawn to one party or the other, probably maybe because of how they grew up. Other people are kind of turned off by both. They feel like clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle, right? But hey, you gotta choose. And so they jump in with a party. It's kind of like there's two boxes, right? There's the Democrat box and the Republican box, and I gotta jump in one of the boxes. And so people do, they jump in that box. And that's dangerous. Now, listen, I'm not saying you can't or should not register with a political party. I understand there are reasons to do that. It allows you to vote in primaries. It gives you opportunity to run for office. Those are good things. But I am saying that we don't get in a political party to belong, because we already belong. We belong to God. We belong to God's kingdom. We find our identity not in politics, but in the person of Jesus. And I am saying that we don't choose a party because it's black and white, like one is the Christian party and one is not. Because the truth is, no political party perfectly represents Jesus. Not even close. So again, I'm not saying you can't or should not register with a political party, but I am saying that we need to recognize that it's dangerous when we get in either box. There is danger. There is danger when you jump in with a political party. And I want to make sure you're aware of two of the big dangers. The first danger is that when you become part of a group, biases start forming. This is always true. Like in sports, was it a foul or not a foul? Answer, it depends on which team you root for, right? Or for years in baseball, Yasiel Puig was on the Dodgers, and every baseball fan hated Puig because of his brash personality and his questionable attitude, except Dodger fans. They loved him. He's awesome! Why? Because he's one of us. He's on our team. See, when you're part of a group, biases start forming, and that's okay with sports, but not politics. There's a book called Leadership and Self-Deception, Getting Out of the box. And the author says, when you get in a box, it becomes really easy to view anyone outside your box as wrong and even as the enemy. When you get in a group, biases start forming. One is called the fundamental attribution error. The idea with the fundamental attribution error is that when we evaluate ourselves or people we care about, we look at their circumstances and we blame circumstances if something's not good. But when we evaluate someone else, someone we view as not one of us, we blame their character. So, like, if I'm driving and I cut you off in traffic, I didn't see him. It's not about who I am. I didn't see him. But if you cut me off in traffic, you're a jerk. Right? With me or someone I care about, I excuse things based on circumstances. With someone who's not one of us, I blame their character. When it comes to politics, it can sound like this. Those Democrats are all just, they're godless and they're socialists. Those Republicans, they're heartless and they're corrupt. No, you're a socialist. No, you're corrupt. It's so easy to fall into when you get in a party and it's us versus them. But mature, emotionally intelligent, curious, empathetic people don't fall for that. And Jesus followers don't act that way. And you are better than that. And I am better than that. So let's not do that. But it's not just the fundamental attribution error. There's more. When you jump in a box. There's also the desirability bias. There was an article called You're Not Going to Change Your Mind, which details all this research that was done for the University of London's Journal of Experiential Psychology. This study looked into human nature regarding politics and revealed the lengths we will go to believe what we want to believe, regardless of the facts. It's called the desirability bias. They found out that when people of either party received desirable evidence, they took note of it. And they incorporated the information into their beliefs. But when people received undesirable evidence, they rejected it. They wrote it off and barely let it change their beliefs, if at all. They discovered that when a person aligns themselves with a political party, it becomes very difficult for that person to see the world and the issues in an unbiased way. They see things the way their group sees things. So, one of the challenges I've mentioned each week of this series is, are you willing to put your faith filter ahead of your political filter? This is very difficult for people to do. Honestly, I'm afraid some of you just won't be able to do this. Are you willing to have your theology, what you believe about God, what the Bible says, shape your politics instead of having your politics shape your theology? It's so hard because of those biases. In fact, if you're someone who's like, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, and you're a Christian, there are probably things you believe and you're sure you believe them because you're a Christian. But it is very possible that you actually believe those things because you're a Republican or a Democrat, and they are not beliefs you would have if you let your theology shape your politics. I'll say it this way. This may help you because you're probably thinking, not me, but this may help you to better identify if this is you, okay? If you're a Republican or a Democrat and there aren't quite a few issues where you passionately disagree with your party, then I would very much venture a guess that you have put your political filter ahead of your faith filter. that your politics have shaped your theology instead of your theology shaping your politics, because there is no political party that perfectly represents Jesus, not even close. But we, and I realize you may be watching this not as a follower of Jesus, you may be just investigating, but we, most of us, we've chosen to follow Jesus. Am I saying that if you're a Democrat, you're in the wrong box? I think I am. Am I saying that if you're a Republican, you're in the wrong box? I think I am. Those who follow Jesus, we are kingdom of God people. Jesus said that he came to bring a kingdom to earth, not a political kingdom, a spiritual kingdom made up of people who want God to be their king, people who want to do life God's way, who want to bring his kingdom to earth. In fact, that's what Jesus taught us to pray and to work for. In Matthew 6:10, he said to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's our kingdom. God's kingdom, not the kingdom of America, not the kingdom of a political party. The kingdom of God is a party because it's where all the good stuff is at, and it's our box. And we need to be kingdom of God people who may register with a political party, but always put God's kingdom first. Jesus told us to do that in Matthew 6:33. He said, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." In fact, I would ask you, if you are a follower of Jesus and a political party kind of person, do you talk and post and tweet more about Jesus or about politics? And if you talk, post, tweet more about politics, what does that say about what you put first? So again, not saying you can't or should not register with a political party, but we need to recognize the dangers. The first danger, we can start feeling like we belong to our political party when we don't. We belong to God. And we can feel like that political party is our box. It's not. Ours is the kingdom of God. And if we jump into that political party box, biases will start forming. That's the first danger. But remember, I said there are two dangers. Can you feel the danger? Hot Rod, greatest movie of all time? Maybe. So here's the second danger of jumping in with a political party. The second danger is that party politics can become my camp versus your camp. We're the good guys and you're the bad guys. And we can just kind of write off people who identify with the other party. We can look down on them and speak bad about them. That is not the way of Jesus. Jesus is all about unity. In fact, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus last night, he prays. And check this is cool. We actually get to hear his prayer. Awesome, right? So what do you think Jesus prayed for? It's a big moment. Here it is. First, he prays for his followers who were with him that night. John chapter 17, verse 11. "Holy Father," he prays, "you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are." So he prayed that his followers would be united as God is united. And then he prays for all of his future followers, which is us, right? He prays for us. Verses 20 through 23. "I am praying not only for these disciples," the ones who are right there with him, "but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." That's us. "I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience, check this, such perfect unity. Why? That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. The most important thing to Jesus, the thing he chose to pray about in his last chance to pray, was the unity of his people. So it is a deep truth, and we don't have time to get into it, but what we learn in the Bible is that God is three, yet one, one, yet three. He is three distinct beings who are so united, they exist as one God. And God created us to live in his image, to live out that kind of unity. If we are divided, we are not living in the image of God, and that is a problem. And beyond that, Jesus says, this is mission critical. This is imperative. Jesus says, my whole mission rides on their ability to stay united. Father, the world will never believe in me, will never believe in your love if they can't love each other and stay united. So listen, our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is in the person and the message of Jesus. So, why in the world would we allow ourselves to be divided by politics? But man, Christians do allow politics to create division all the time. So, how about we don't? Because we are better than that. You are better than that. You can register with a political party. I don't know which one you should register with. I don't care. What I do know is be careful because it's dangerous. You can develop biases so your beliefs are shaped by politics instead of by God, and you can let party politics divide you. So, the second challenge I've mentioned each week is, are you willing to put love above everything, to disagree politically, but still love unconditionally? If you speak negatively about people who belong to the other party, or if you feel like, I can't believe a Christian would belong to that party, or if you feel like we're the good guys and they're the bad guys, then you have allowed party politics to create division. And that is the one thing Jesus prayed you would not do. How about let's be the answer to Jesus' prayer. We are about unity. We do not put up walls that might divide us. I guess I'll end our series that we've been doing giving you the third challenge I've mentioned each week. Are you willing to put love above everything? The Bible says that love is the greatest thing. 1 Corinthians 13:37 says the greatest of all these is love. Jesus said that his disciples would be known not for being right, but for being loving. John 13:35, he said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Isn't this cool? We have an unprecedented opportunity to show people what it looks like to disagree politically, but love unconditionally. And we are never going to agree on everything with everyone, but we are going to love everyone and everything. God is love, and he calls us to live lives of love. And we need to understand, ready, that God loves us, and that God loves everyone. God loves the people on the other side, the people who stand for what you stand against. God loves conservatives and liberals. God loves Republicans and Democrats. God loves Americans, and he loves immigrants and refugees, no matter where they're from. God loves people who stand for traditional views of marriage and those who are LGBT and Q. God loves pro-lifers and pro-choicers. God loves black people and white supremacists. And I know that may sound crazy. As Kingdom of God people, we are for people because God is for people. Remember, we said we are pro-life, not just life before birth, but also life after. Not just life in the womb, but life from womb to tomb. We are for the lives of people who God loves and Jesus died for. That means, check this, we stand against that which stands opposed to life. And so we are against the things Jesus is against. Jesus is absolutely and unequivocally against the sin of white supremacy. And so are we. He is against the sins of racism, xenophobia, and misogyny. And so are we. Because we follow Jesus. Because people matter, we condemn injustice. We work against it. We condemn the exploitation of children and women. We name sin for what it is. We invite people in sin to repentance. But at the same time, we recognize that God loves everyone. And our greatest calling is not to be right, but to be loving. God loves you. God loves the people you love. God loves the people who you are tempted to hate. And God has called you to go and show and share his love with everyone. So let's do that. No matter who, let's love people in Jesus' name. And no matter who wins or loses the election, let's remember that the church wins or loses by how we love people. And let's remember that no matter who is or isn't elected president, Jesus is still king. Our trust is in him. Our allegiance is to him. And he has called us to live lives of love. So let's do that. Let's viva la verve, which means live the life. Let's live the life. I will see you next weekend. Until then, and as always, viva la verve.